You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The French, for instance, love the cock.
You're tuned into The Wire.
Ko te wire, tēnei maronga BFM. And in other international news this week, a foreign journalist has been banned from entering Hong Kong. What's the story there, Justin?
Yes, so Victor Mallard, the Asian news editor for the Financial Times, has been banned from entering Hong Kong last Thursday. He is also one of the chairmen of the Hong Kong Foreign Correspondents Club. The Hong Kong government won't explain why they made the decision, but popular belief back home in Hong Kong is the decision is leading back to the Correspondents Club hosting an event discussing Hong Kong independence in August. But to explain all of that, we have to go back to 2016. In March 2016, the Hong Kong National Party was founded by members consisting of mostly active university students, also with some fresh graduates who have been working for a few years, and professionals who were mostly in their 20s. The party manifesto states it wants to establish Hong Kong as a self-reliant nation to, quote, defend the interests of Hong Kongers and maintain such interests as fundamental, end quote. The manifesto also called for the abolishment of Hong Kong's supreme law, the Basic Law. The Basic Law is the defining law in Hong Kong. It was drafted in 1984 and outlined the ruling One Country, Two System principle, which means Hong Kong, despite under the rule of mainland China, it has its own autonomy and separate systems. It also outlined Hong Kong residents' fundamental rights, including the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, and the freedom of association and demonstration. But following various controversies that breaches the Basic Law, many people are disillusioned in the prospects of Hong Kong under further Chinese rule. These controversies included the disappearance of 5 staff members of an independent publisher that publishes books on Chinese politics. Later, it was revealed that 2 of these members were arrested by Chinese law enforcement in Hong Kong and brought over to China forcefully without the necessary travel documents. As a result of these incidents, more parties and groups are formed to advocate for alternative outcomes for Hong Kong after the current system expires in 2047, as the Basic Law promised in the handover in 1997 that the current capitalist system will be continued for 50 years. But these groups campaigned for various ideas. Some wanted for immediate Hong Kong independence, while some wanted to return to British rule, while some advocated to remain under Chinese rule, but a separate constitution will be drawn by the locals. The Hong Kong National Party is the first one advocating for Hong Kong independence. One of its founding members and the party's convener, Andy Chan, intended to run in the parliamentary election in 2016. But he and other 5 pro-independence activists were disqualified from entering the race. And in September this year, the Hong Kong government officially outlawed the National Party. Secretary for Security, John Lee, claimed the decision was made under the society's ordinance for the sake of, quote, national security and to maintain, quote, public order.
What the agenda of the Hong Kong National Party aims to is, in strict contravention to the Basic Law, the Hong Kong National Party also spreads hatred and discrimination against mainlanders in Hong Kong.
The decision means that the National Party is the first political party in Hong Kong to be outlawed since the handover back to China in 1997. A month prior to the decision, the Foreign Correspondents Club in Hong Kong invited Chan for a speaking event.
Due to the nature of how the Chinese propaganda machine works, the National Party was instantly demonized as some sort of extremist group due to this single word, independence. In reality, what the National Party is chasing after is no different from what many Hong Kongers wish for, the dream of democracy.
The event received backlash from pro-Beijing politicians and media, saying the Foreign Correspondents Club is, quote, providing a venue for independence activists to spread their lies and fear-mongering. In October, acting president of the club and the Asian news editor for the Financial Times, Victor Mallet, was notified by the Immigration Department his work visa was not renewed and he was forced to leave Hong Kong. He was one of those to facilitate Chan's speaking event in August.
There's been a lot of misinformation flying around about the FCC, and I just want to emphasize once again that hosting such events does not mean that we at the FCC either endorse or oppose the views of our speakers. These speakers here on this podium, they've included senior officials of the Chinese government, the Hong Kong government, and other governments, as well as their opponents and critics. We've had speakers in favor of Brexit. We've had speakers against Brexit. We've had speakers in favor of Donald Trump. We've had speakers against Donald Trump. And we've had speakers, of course, in favor of the Chinese Communist Party, and we've had speakers against. And this is what press clubs do. It is really a completely normal activity for a press club. Where we do take a stand is on the issue of free speech in Hong Kong, in Asia, and the world. And that the FCC does believe that its members and the public at large have the right. And in the case of correspondents and journalists, we actually have the professional responsibility to hear the views of different sides in any debate.
Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, denied the decision to not extend Mallet's visa as a political one.
He was purely chairing a talk at the FCC. So why was his visa denied? He's not linked in the Hong Kong independence movement. He was purely facilitating a talk at the FCC.
I'm sorry, what you said is pure speculation. As far as entry and exit matters, these are matters within Hong Kong's autonomy under one country, two systems. On every individual case, the Director of Immigration will act in accordance with the law and the policy and the circumstances concerning that particular case. As a rule, not only locally, but internationally, as a rule, we will never disclose. The Immigration Department will not disclose the individual circumstances of the case or the considerations of his decision. So I cannot comment on your speculation.
Ms. Lam, if the government is talking about independence almost every week, how do journalists navigate this red line? Can they quote independence figures, interview them, invite them to a forum, or invite them only alongside a government representative? If reporters don't know clearly, they may self-censor. So can you tell us which of these is reporting and which is now unlawful advocacy?
But sorry, I cannot tell you exactly what journalists should say or act or interview, but I can assure you, freedom of expression, freedom of reporting are core values in Hong Kong. And as the chief executive, I and the Hong Kong SAR government will safeguard all these rights as enshrined in the basic law. Every act, every case will be dealt with in accordance with the law, the policy, and the circumstances, including the facts of the case.
Last week, Mallet tried to enter Hong Kong as a tourist but was turned away by border officials. The Hong Kong government to this day still refused to explain why Mallet's visa extension was denied. It also doesn't explain why he was refused entry last week.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
The past week also saw other Chinese political descendants, such as writer Ma Jian, got their speaking venue in Hong Kong cancelled at the last minute. Despite this has been resolved later, this raises some big questions here. Is Hong Kong still the bastion of Chinese freedom of speech, or is it like a world-class city at all, or has it just become another Chinese city? Yeah, just text me your thoughts on 5395.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.